His Grace Shamsundar Prabhu was scheduled to give the class this morning, but unfortunately he became quite ill last night and was unable to come. So I was asked to give class today. But as a little message, maybe you can all pray for his health. He's struggling with keeping good health. So hopefully he'll be here tomorrow to give class. Okay, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18. The chapter is entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers, Checks Number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Antar Bahischa Kila Loka Palakayar. Adrishtu Rupo Chararasuru Swanaha. Sva Ishvaras Twam Yaridam Vasenayan. Nam Nayata Daru Mayindarastriyam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as the supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antar Bahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimad Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, nato natya daro yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddeshe Junatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is the Super Soul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God, please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or by a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Dairu Mayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women want to remain independent. What to speak of women, all living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna Himself explains in Bhagavad Gita. Aparayam itas tvanyam prakriti virime param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations situated to their particular position. In this way, all the members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relationship to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under the control. He is under control. The Supreme Lord Narayana, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Eko Havai Narayana Asit. Foolish persons think Narayan to be on the platform of an ordinary material existence. Because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity, they concoct like names like Daridya Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Mithya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone, thus understanding his self-realization. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all living entities in the universe, such as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. So we might compare the presence of the Lord to air. Air is outside and air is inside. It's inside everything, it's outside everything. But still, one cannot see the air. But still, the air is there, and the air is necessary in order for one to live. Otherwise, without air, one cannot breathe, and one ceases to exist. So in the same way, the Lord is actually, he's within everything, he's without with everything. He's within the atom. He's smaller than the atom. He's even smaller than the atom itself, which is the smallest. And he's also greater than the greatest. There is no part of this existence, either material or spiritual, that the Lord is not present, either by his personal presence or by his energy. Because as we learn in the Vedic scriptures, the energy of the Lord, and the Lord, in the absolute sense of the understanding, is no difference. One cannot separate the sunshine from the sun. And similarly, one cannot separate the energies of the Lord from the Lord. Because without the Lord, there's no question of any energies. And the energies are working under the direction of the Lord. Parasya Shakti Virahaya Suyate Svavavavidhi Jnana Balakriya Cha. It's explained in the Sweta Svatara Upanishads, that the Lord's energies are working so perfectly according to his will and are maintaining this entire cosmic manifestation, also carrying out his will in all aspects of existence. And yet he remains aloof from the activities of his energies. But still, without him, there's no question of his energies acting. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the foundation for everything. When you have a house, the house sits upon a foundation. But without the foundation, there's no question of a house. So the foundation of life is the Lord. But persons in this material world come under the influence of one of the Lord's energies known as the Bahiranga Shakti. There are three energies, the Tathasta Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti, and the Antaranga Shakti. The Antaranga Shakti is the spiritual energy in its pure existence, which is the manifestation of the spiritual world, and all aspects of that energy fits into the category of the Antaranga Shakti. The Bahiranga Shakti is the material energy of the modes of material energy as they manifest themselves in their activities in order to carry out the affairs of the Lord within this, what we say, separated existence from the spiritual world. And then there's the Tathasta Shakti. Tathasta Shakti is marginal. The Tathasta can be compared to something that is in between. Just like if you go to a beach, like we were going to Where did we go? We went to Kanyakumari for bathing. We went for Rameshwara down in Dhanuskoti for bathing. And the ocean waves, they come in and they go out. So at one time when the ocean waves are coming in, the beach gets covered by the ocean wave. And then that part is now water. But then when it recedes, it becomes land. And sometimes after, when the oceans build up, they pile actually debris onto the shore. And actually, as Prabhupada explains this, silt or different types of material elements build up. And the beach actually becomes more extended. And at other times, the waves actually become even stronger and cover the beach. And then the beach at one point becomes the ocean. So the beach is always in the marginal position. It's either one way or the other. So in the same way, the living entities are called tatastha. That means in between. So they can go either under the direction of the Lord's external energy, which is known as the Maya energy, which controls them according to the modes of material nature. And one is fully controlled by that material energy. And just like here, it's explained that a puppeteer, he controls his dolls. Mm-hmm. And the dolls are just, you know, they're bouncing around and they're moving. Sometimes you can't see the person controlling it. It's hidden behind some cloth or something. But the puppets are bouncing up and down. Sometimes even the strings are not seeable. But the puppets are going this way and that way. And some ignorant person might say, "Oh, look at those dolls. They're just moving by themselves. Isn't that wonderful? How are they doing that?" But then that's more like a child's vision. One who's intelligent understands that dolls can't move by themselves. They require someone to move them. And so one will understand that there's something else. So in the same way, foolish materialistic people, they can't see how they're being controlled and how they're being others are being controlled. It's almost like a foolish child who sees a dancing doll and can't understand that behind there's someone controlling. So the materialists are like that. They're being controlled at every moment, and yet they're acting in such a way that they're not in control, that they're free from any type of control. Or they think that by their efforts, they can accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. In other words, I'm in control. That's more or less the conclusion of the materialist. I'm in control. I just have to take control. Even if I'm not in control now due to some deficiency in my character or due to some situation in my life, I can come become in control. I can go and get some help from a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I can read some books. You know, how was this one book? How to speak and influence people. Right. How to be able to influence people by what you say. And so they write books. How to do this, and how to do that, and how to do this. And sometimes, based on some technique that they develop, some success is in that comes. But they don't understand that success is so small in comparison to the actual energy that is controlling them constantly. Prabhupada says they think they're in control, but then they walk along and they stub their toe, right? I remember I was driving in one city in Washington, D.C. Now, Washington, D.C. is one of the biggest highway cities in the country. There's the road that goes around the city. They call it the Circle Road, the Ring Road, the Belt Road. And on that highway, there are 8 lanes going each way, practically. Some places there are 8 lanes, some places there's 5 lanes. Depends on part of the city. So there's a lot of cars going all in one direction because there's so much traffic. It's always full of traffic. And so I was driving on that road, and then I was noticing one car was in front of me, and it was just going in and out of traffic and then just trying to get ahead and going, just like driving quite wild. So I looked closely, got closer to the car, and I noticed on his license plate, he had an interesting license plate. It said, "I'm free. I'm free." So he's driving like an idiot, and he's going in and out of traffic, and his license plate says, "I'm free." Right? So my immediate thought was, yes, you're free to crash. There's no restrictions, you can crash. And you can also free to get a summons by the police officer. So what is your freedom? So this is the materialist, that they think that they're in control. And if they do something to bring about some success in their plans, they stamp that. Just see, look what I've done. It's by my efforts. But only under the influence of the material energy the entity functioning. So sometimes one gets some success by their plans, and that brings them deeper into the illusion that they're in control. But then sometimes the other, they don't get some success, or they find themselves being in a very difficult situation. And they just think, because I'm not so expert at knowing how to control, that's my problem. So I just have to become more expert in how to control things. And if I can do that, but, you know, we see, like, no one can bring about what we say success in their activities, even if they somehow or other act in such a way as to bring about some achievement. They can't get the results of that achievement. In other words, they can't find happiness in that, because happiness is something else. They're under the influence of their, what we say, manifested karma. And so their activities simply lead to their own destiny, which is already predestined under the influence of the... What is that verse? Tasyaivo hetu pratite na kovito na labhyate ta brahmata upariyada talabhyate dukanava anya sukham kalena sarvatra gambhira ramhasa. Very beautiful verse spoken by Lord Brahma in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he explains in the second half of the verse that just like people don't try for suffering, but it comes. It comes. No one tries to become miserable. No one tries to bring about inauspiciousness, but it comes. So in the same way, the verse is explaining your happiness by material calculations also come without your efforts. One doesn't have to make efforts to get material happiness. It will come automatically. Karma daivana traina, simply by one's taking birth under the influence of one's previous karma, one's happiness and distress are automatically allotted. One cannot change that. So the whole struggle in this material world is to do two things, to bring about more happiness and to mitigate more distress, to mitigate whatever distress. So that is life. Life means somehow put all my energies in bringing back more success and happiness and somehow avoiding suffering, avoiding inauspiciousness. That's life. So therefore, you can't say that activities in the material world is the activities of a human being. It's simply a hard struggle for existence, which is based on animal propensities, simply trying to satisfy the senses through the activities in this world, material world. There's no real success. And whatever success a person achieves, it's finished in due course of time. In the material world, you get three results. You try hard for something and you don't get it and you suffer. And you try hard for something and you get it and it doesn't bring you any happiness and you still suffer. And then you try hard for something, you get it, and it brings you some happiness for some time, and then it's taken away and then you suffer again. Adibo. That's material life. Anybody want to invest in the three modes of material nature? It's a good stock market. You can invest in sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun. Which investment do you want? They're all the same.
Because even tamagun, everyone's trying to avoid the effects of the reactions of tamagun. Although they act in tamagun, they're still trying to avoid it. But even sattvagun, the so-called goodness that one achieves by auspicious activities such as giving in charity, performing some welfare activities for people in general, opening hospitals, feeding poor, clothing needy people, doing things that are considered to be pious activities. These are also inauspicious. Prabhupada used to say, pious or impious, it's all impious. Why? Because it just creates the illusion that there is some happiness in this material world. And therefore, one cannot take seriously to the path of devotional service. As long as one is still attached to some thinking that there's, by some effort of mine, I can bring about auspiciousness in my life. Forget it. Forget it. Just take shelter under the person who controls everything, Krishna. You take shelter of Krishna in devotional service, and he's also the controller of the material energy. Not only the spiritual energy, but he's controlling the material energy. And for a devotee, one who takes shelter of the Lord, the material energy is no longer functioning as the material energy. Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna can change day into night and night into day. Krishna can make hot cold and cold hot. And you ask, well, how can he do it? He can do it. He can do anything. He's perfect. And all he's created everything, so therefore he knows exactly how everything works. And he can change it. Therefore, the point I'm saying is that one takes shelter of Krishna, then the material energy no longer affects the living entity. One is free from the effects of material energy. So sometimes you say, well, how even we see a great devotee may be put into a difficult situation, or a devotee may have some health problems, or a devotee may have to suffer something. But that's the vision of the materialist, or the vision of a neophyte devotee. Because those who are fully engaged in devotional service, they don't suffer. Although externally one is seeing them suffering, actually they're not. They're not. They're accepting whatever Krishna gives them through their pure devotional service as the mercy of the Lord. And therefore they accept it in that way. And they're not suffering like we are suffering. Prabhupada says, a pure devotee will get sick for one of three reasons. One, due to the karma of his disciples, sometimes due to disciples not seriously following their spiritual master, they create some difficulty upon the spiritual master. So therefore, the scriptures also give very strong injunctions that if one is a spiritual master, he must train his disciples, or he must not accept disciples who are insincere. Because if he does, then that can cause problems. So that can happen. The second one is that to glorify his devotee, just like we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, when he went, he had to go through so many difficulties to spread Krishna consciousness. He had to come to America when he was cold. There was no one to receive him, to welcome him. It was a foreign country. The food was different. The whole climate was different. Everything. Even Prabhupada, he wrote in that famous poem, Markan Bhagavad Dharma. Markine Bhagavad Dharma. He came to Boston. He got off the ship. He looked around. It was 5:30 a.m. in the morning. He was looking around. And he was just seeing such a heavy atmosphere of Ugra karma. There was all steel mills and factories and just very dark, dismal place. And Prabhupada went back on the ship and he says, my dear Lord, why have you brought me here? These people are so steeped in ignorance and passion. How will he ever understand your message? He wrote that beautiful poem, praying to the Lord. And so in that situation, we see this example of how great souls who take on what we say the mission of the Lord to spread Krishna consciousness and surrender their everything in the Lord's service in devotion to the Lord, not just surrender, but surrender in devotion, that they are sometimes given some physical difficulty. But that is, in the case of great souls, that is just to show the glories of these personalities. Because Krishna wants to glorify his devotee, and he knows that his devotee will accept anything based on whatever the Lord wants. So the Lord wants to show the world, here's the quality of this soul. He's willing to accept whatever difficulties and come in his devotional life simply to serve me. So the Lord feels happy to glorify his devotee in that way. And the third way is sometimes the spiritual master gets sick in order to allow for personal service for his disciples. Personal service that endears those disciples closer to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. We see that in cases of a spiritual master, that when he's put in that situation, then others get to do personal service, and that's for their tremendous benefit, and they develop a deeper loving relationship with their spiritual master. So using that example, how that under this spiritual energy, although one may seem to be suffering, one is not suffering. One is accepting this as the mercy of the Lord, and it has a higher purpose. But the materialists, all their suffering is simply suffering. Why? Because they're on the wrong path. And they can't see that they're being controlled at every situation. Prahlad Maharaj explains to the materialists, if you want to be happy in this world, he says, do one thing, stop trying to become happy. Stop acting for your own interests. When you stop acting for your own interests, you serve your own interest. Haribo. When one acts for their interests separate from the Lord's interests, then one's interest becomes covered by the one's vision of one's interest becomes covered by the influence of the material energy. And one cannot see clearly how to satisfy one's interest, because one doesn't know. This is called, in other words, the materialists are deluded. They're always deluded. They're always under the influence of delusion. They can speak very intelligently. They can also speak very assuredly. They can even convince so many people about so many things. But they're all controlled by Krishna's material energy. And the example here is just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls. Prabhupada also uses the example, a husband controls his wife. I guess that is the ideal situation. Doesn't always happen, but that's the ideal situation according to Vedic culture and according to proper understanding on how one should live within the Grihastha ashram. A qualified husband should lead his wife in such a way that he brings her to Krishna consciousness, and like that. So that control is accepted in order to bring about what we say happiness for both persons. And so the ideal example is given here by Mother Lakshmi. She speaks these verse. But at the same time, using the example of dancing dolls, that the devotee is also like a puppet. He's Krishna's puppet. In that same poem, the Markine Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada writes that, I'm just like your puppet. I've come to here on your order. You've brought me here. It's not that I'm here because of my desire. You have brought me here. And therefore, you're controlling me. Now make me dance even further, Lord. Make me dance as your puppet. make me dance. In other words, allow me to serve you in such a way that I can please you. So a devotee also wants to be controlled, but he wants to be controlled by Krishna. Being controlled by Krishna and being controlled by Maya, control is there. Prabhupada used the example, a kitten is being carried in the mouth of the cat, or the kitten is being controlled, carried in the mouth of the rat, or the rat is being controlled in the cat, in the mouth of the cat. So for the rat, the cat is death. For the kitten, the cat is mother. So same cat, but in different effects. So a devotee wants to be controlled by Krishna. We like to be controlled, just like a little child. And he feels insecure if he doesn't have his parents around him to help him or to control him. He depends on his parents. So we are all children. And under the influence of the material energy, we're also being controlled, but in the wrong way. We're being controlled by something that brings about our inauspiciousness. So one has to take full shelter. So according to how much one takes shelter of the Lord, one is controlled by the Lord. Now, control is not something absolute. One may take 20% control of the Lord, shelter of the Lord, and get 20% control. Or one may take 40 or 60, depend. Or one may take 100%, but one should accept the Lord as their supreme control and continue to surrender more and more of one's independence. Because surrendering one's independence is of two aspects, on the gross level and on the subtle level. On the gross level, we perform activities, but on the subtle level, we also have to surrender our minds, surrender our intelligence, and also surrender our ego. Because the surrender of the ego, that's the most difficult thing to surrender. That somehow or other, one still has some desires to fulfill under the influence of the material energy. So Lakshmi says, no one can understand how you're controlling. You're controlling everyone. You're inside, you're outside. Even the great commanders, the great leaders of society, although they control others within society, still they cannot realize that they're being controlled by you. And only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. In other words, one who takes to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then one can start to purify their consciousness and realize that one is being controlled, but being controlled by the spiritual energy, by the Lord's holy name. So the holy name is controlling us. And we want to be controlled. A foolish person wants to be independent. Because control by the Lord means success. But ultimately a devotee, in his devotion to the Lord, actually comes to the point where he actually controls the Lord by his devotion. Those who control, well, that person who is control everything also allows himself to be controlled by his devotee. So when one takes shelter of the supreme controller, one can also, not as an ego aspect, but as a loving aspect, control the Lord also. Krishna says there is three things. There's bhakti, there's Bhagavan, and there is bhakta. There's the devotee, there's the Lord, and the process of devotion or bhakti. Of the three, the bhakti is the strongest. Bhakti controls Bhagavan. So a devotee who possesses pure bhakti also controls the Lord in loving devotional service. That's why we see that Radharani, she is the supreme aspect of pure devotional service within creation, existence, within existence. And by her love, she controls Krishna. Even Krishna is controlled by Radharani. And if Radharani gives special mercy to a devotee in devotional service,
And Krishna agrees to be under control of that devotee. One has to get the blessings of Radharani in order to get to also to be able to serve the Lord in such a way is that by their devotion the Lord comes under their control. So we take shelter of the spiritual master. We take shelter of Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani. We pray for their mercy, and by their mercy they allow us to engage in devotional service in such a way that we actually, by our devotional service, the Lord becomes attracted. The Lord becomes attracted to our devotional. Krishna is attracted to bhakti. He's bhaktivatsal. But he's not attracted to mixed devotion. How is it we can perform activities that are not pure devotion? How is it we're doing that? Krishna is only attracted by pure devotional service. He's not interested in mixed devotion. How is it we can somehow or other perform activities and still not be on the platform of pure devotion? Because the spiritual master, he's there. And the spiritual master is the pure representative of the Lord. So he takes our mixed devotion, and if he's pleased with us, he offers it to Krishna, and Krishna accepts. In that way, Krishna is accepting our mixed devotion through the pure devotee. And then he's accepting the pure devotee's pure love for Krishna. And that way we are allowed to engage in devotional service. So that is the mercy of the pure souls. So this process is one to take shelter of the Lord and to remain fully free from any independence. And it's difficult too. It's very difficult because the mind and the senses always have, Maya is always dictating, the mind and the senses are conditioned always to act in an independent way. One can act independently when one is completely pure. And then one's purity and their independence is none different. Then their independence, they use their independence to serve the Lord in pure devotion. But until one comes to that stage, if one is still mixed in mixed devotional service, if one acts independently, one will act outside the sanction of the Lord. One will be forced to act according to their... Therefore, there is rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations are simply to keep one on the path towards pure devotional service. Once one gets to the path of pure devotional service, then that pure devotion, those rules and regulations become subordinate to pure devotion. But still, the pure devotee follows the rules and regulations in order to give example to others. And also, the pure devotee also follows because he also feels that he should follow, that he doesn't feel he's a pure devotee. Therefore, he acts and still under the rules and regulations. But in some cases, he may reject certain rules and restrictions, and that because the principle of bhakti or pure devotion supersedes that. Prabhupada uses the example. You know, sometimes they say, they use Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he ate some fish, right? And when they were out in the desert, the story in the Bible, they were all out in the desert and they had one fish, one little fish and some loaves, one loaf of bread. So by his mystic power, he multiplied and then everybody had a feast of bread and fish, and everybody was satisfied. So people say, well, Christ, he did that, and therefore he ate fish, therefore we can eat fish, we can eat meat. And Prabhupada says, he's a controller, he's very powerful. He may act in a certain circumstance, but you can't do that. You can't do that, because you do it because you like it, and to fulfill your own in selfish interest, but the Lord or the pure devotee is acting in that way to bring about a certain principle or to achieve some devotional activity. His motivations are not selfish, they're pure. So we see sometimes great souls will reject, you know, certain principles and act outside of certain rules and regulations. But the principle of love supersedes all rules and regulations. But then Prabhupada said, don't imitate. Don't imitate. Don't think you're on that platform. Like sometimes, you know, I write different people. I was receiving some mail from one person, and the person was quoting one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should perform devotional service in spontaneous love. There's one verse. One should execute devotional service on the spontaneous platform. So this person was saying, well, why do I have to follow all the rules and regulations? It says here, Nuga Bhakti is the supreme aspect of devotional service, and we should perform devotion on the platform of Raga Nuga Bhakti. So therefore, you know, I don't have to, you know, follow all these other things, you know. I don't even need a spiritual master. I'm in love with Krishna. I write beautiful poetry. I have, you know, every time I see Krishna, I cry. So therefore, I must be on Raga Nuga platform. Yeah, I get things, I hear things like that. This is not just something I'm making up. These are actual practical examples. But to come to that stage of Raga Nuga Bhakti means one has to go through the principles of Vaidhi first and then achieve that. One cannot simply jump to that, to the spontaneous platform. Otherwise, one becomes sahajya, or one will fall down from whatever position they are, and one will be even lower than a neophyte. So that's again another example of wanting to be independent of the Lord, and think that one can, because the Lord has given the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is enacted by the Lord. It's not coming from any materialistic, it's not coming from any individual. The Lord speaks the process into the heart of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma speaks the beautiful Brahma Samhita, teaches us the whole process of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya came and he explained to Rupa Goswami what is the process. Rupa Goswami, by his realizations, understood and wrote it down in the form of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the Lord is the one who enacts religious principles. No one else can enact religious. So the process is also given by the Lord and followed by the pure devotees. And the pure devotees, understanding the mission of the Lord and understanding how the mission can be enacted according to time, place, and circumstance, may change how the process is enacted accordingly, but still the foundation remains. And they change based on their realization, not based on some whim or some trying to make it better. So still, they remain under the influence of the Lord's desire like that. So here, the ultimate principle is here is that no one can understand the Lord, how the Lord is controlling, who is under the influence of the Lord's material energy. Sometimes they understand they're controlled, but still they can't understand how they're being controlled, and they can't understand who's controlling. Again, it's like what's a good example? It's like being in a cave and saying there is no sun. The cave may be big, and you may be able to see the whole cave, but when you think that your cave is the whole existence, then you don't really understand that beyond your cave there's a whole other realm of existence out there. So the materialists are like that. They have myopic vision. They're being controlled at all times, and yet they foolishly try to defy the position of subordination and try to act in a superior or independent position. Deny the existence of God, could deny the control of God. And therefore, life after life, they're put under the influence of the material energy, which continues to control them. And finally, when they can no longer, you know, withstand the sufferings of being controlled by the material energy, they take them to some spiritual process in order to become God. In other words, they actually try to become the Supreme, and therefore we have so many philosophies. The word is not philosophy, it's more like philosophy. How to somehow or other not surrender to the Lord, but at the same time become the Lord or be the controller. It's going on all the time, right? And that's the problem. So therefore, Prabhupada said they concoct things like Dharidya Narayan, Swami Narayan, Mitya Narayan, so many Narayans. You know. Yeah. Om Namo Narayan, right? You're Narayan, I'm Narayan, we're all Narayan. But then Narayan, Prabhupada said, when Narayan has a cold or he gets a toothache, he has to go see another Narayan to get cured. So Narayan's curing Narayan. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's foolish. I mean, when you actually understand this Mayavadi or this materialist philosophy, it doesn't make any sense. An intelligent person can, once he's explained the standard, he can see that this is foolishness. But just like a little child can't understand that if he sticks his hand in the fire, he's going to get hurt. Still, he does it. And then he gets hurt, but still, and he doesn't listen and does it again. Because he's a child, he's foolish. So same way, the foolish materialists, or the foolish, impersonalist, Mayavadis, they won't surrender to the Lord. And they come up with so many ways to somehow or other avoid surrender and still somehow or other find some success in life. This is foolish. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays, my Lord, let me become your dog. Right? Dog has no independence. A dog sometimes is neglected by the master, but still the dog remains subordinate to the master. Sometimes the master forgets to feed the dog, or forgets to take care of the dog, or may even get angry at the dog and kick the dog, and still the dog remains faithful to the master. So the great souls, they pray, let me just become your dog. Kukuda, right? Dog. And that way, because by being controlled by you means that ultimately I will achieve your lotus feet. And by achieving their lotus feet, there's no more reputation of birth and death in this material world. So one has to take seriously to the process of devotional service and give up the independent nature. It's very fashionable nowadays to be independent, to try somehow or other, try to. I see even in Krishna consciousness, everyone is trying to somehow or other do things. Sometimes people come to me and say, Maharaj, you know, can you help me? I need this. I said, well, did you ask your spiritual master first? No. Why not? Your spiritual master is there to help you. Well, he's too busy. He doesn't have any time, or I just don't know how to approach him like that. You know, the spiritual master, pure representative of the Lord, when you want to make some plan in devotional service, or if you're having some difficulty, always go to the spiritual master or the representative of the spiritual master, one who can take and get advice, get direction. Most people act independently, even in devotional service. And therefore, they can't achieve the full mercy of the Lord. We have to be very careful. Therefore, the mantra is, my dear Lord, how can I serve you now? How best can I serve? How best can I serve? The devotee always wants to serve and then serve in the best way possible. Okay, so it's actually after 9. Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.